The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a Disney Plus subscriber and you're watching The Mandalorian, Jack and I have a podcast for you.
Every week, we'll discuss the latest episode of The Mandalorian and talk about other great content and maybe some not so great content on Disney Plus as well.
As two lifelong Star Wars fans, we have a ton of fun geeking out over all the little details of the show, and we want you to join us every Monday.
So search for Disney Plus Reviews. That's Disney Plus Reviews. Hey, Phil, how about that, Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda says, what's a podcast?
Hi.
Hello, dear Blanca. How are you?
Corey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great to see you. My guest is Blanca. We're chatting via a Zoom call, and it's magnificent. What am I looking at? I see shoes of all kinds.
My closet. And that's my board of my new record layout.
Oh, look at that. Let's get to it. 15 songs?
I mean, you know, they're my babies. It's hard to let them go.
What else with Corey Mann? On the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
I have had the pleasure of watching this woman perform. I want to use the word spectacle. Great songs that have been crafted, written, sound, but then you add the choreography, the lights, and the excitement. Blanca, is this something you always wanted to do, or was there a flick of the switch somewhere in life, someone you saw, and you went, yes, that's it right there?
I think it's something I've always wanted to do, because since I was a little girl, I would always be singing, always be dancing, always go in front of the camera in every family video and like make, you know, my own talent shows at home where I would use a hairbrush and make my family sit down and watch me sing and dance, and I would always win. But it's always been a passion. I think where the switch went off for me was more in the direction that I am now. But I think when I gave my life to the Lord as a teenager, I was 17, and a switch went off where I was like, oh, this makes sense. This passion and this purpose and this drive all is put in me for a reason. And I think a light bulb went off at that point.
So I did a deep dive on your Instagram, and I came across a super cool 15-year-old Blanca singing in a studio. What's the story there? What was happening in that picture?
So before I gave my life to the Lord, I told you, music was a thing. That was my thing, and I was pursuing it. I lived in Orlando, Florida, so you have Disney World, and you had, at that time, the studio that I was in at that time was a Transcontinental Studios. So you had, like, O-Town and NSYNC and all these, like, artists coming out of this location with like Lou Prome and when that boy band kind of pop sound was in. And so I did a small EP with them of like 5 songs, and they were looking to sign me as a new artist, and I was 15 years old. And then our meeting, this is a lot of information, but I think you like it, Corey, right?
It's a podcast, okay. Man. We get to go there.
I think it's, I always get a mind blown moment because our meeting was set for September 11th. I met with Lou Pearlman once. We were going to like be official. So I was going to show him my new songs, do like a showcase and all this stuff. And it was set for September 11th, which 2001, the towers were hit. And so everything was in chaos. Our meeting was canceled. And then shortly after, he got arrested for, you know, stealing money from his artist and this whole scandal. So I end up getting saved and meeting these amazing people at my church that were doing music. And we ended up doing a showcase in Nashville for Word or Fervent at the time. And here I am years later. I won't even give the age of how many years that's been, but it's been quite the journey. It's crazy how things work out. And as a 15-year-old, I was a freshman in high school. I had all this drive and passion for music. And I felt like in that moment, things had fallen apart for me and my opportunity was gone. And it's like a life lesson that I continue to have of things not working out the way that you anticipate them to. And then looking back years later and saying, oh, I see. That wasn't maybe what was in store for me.
You know, as I look at your closet of shoes, is that EP somewhere hiding in there of the 15-year-old? Do you still have it?
I still have it, which is so random because I didn't know I had it. And I found it in my garage and I was just playing it recently in my car. So I popped the CD in my car and listened to some of these songs. And
how did you feel? How did it make you feel? What memories did it bring back?
It took me back to that time. I have different memories. Like I remember recording one of the first songs with them and then like going to school and showing my friends and like having my big portable CD player, and I put the CD in and let them put the headphones in, and they were like, this is you, this is crazy. It was like such a big deal. So memories like that, and then just memories of the studio. Like I was so naive and just like wet behind the ears. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I didn't know much. And so now I think back at that young girl and then kind of where I'm at now, where I feel so comfortable in the studio and I've grown and learned so much. So different memories like that.
Did you write those songs?
I didn't. None of the songs that I had on that EP was written by me. They had a writer do them for me. So, and that was the funny part too, like listening to me talk about boys, and I knew nothing about boys, but all the songs were like, you broke my heart and you know, you're such a player, all this stuff.
Are you telling me you built a time machine?
Let's say you and I have a DeLorean. We got our seatbelts on. We're going back to the future. We type in 2001. What do you tell 15-year-old Blanca before she's about to go into that studio? What would you tell her?
I would tell her, what would I tell her? I think there's two things. Number one, I've always dealt with anxiety in a really bad way. And this fear of like failure and messing up or not being good enough. So it's kind of like a mix of anxiety and unworthiness. So I think I would go back and tell 15-year-old Blanca, like, you don't have to carry all this weight. You just have to be yourself. And the right people that connect to who you are will be the people that you need to be with, you know, like in terms of your team or whatever it is. But I was just like, I just wanted to impress everyone. And I was so afraid that they would be disappointed in me if I didn't do great. I wish I could coach myself through some of that. And then the second thing is I was so focused on growing up that I would tell her to enjoy the moment and slow down. Like you're 15 years old once and you don't have to rush this process. You could be a kid.
Who was mom and dad?
My parents divorced when I was 6. I grew up with my mom and my older brother, Tony. My parents were from Puerto Rico. So my dad moved back to Puerto Rico when I was young and he wasn't really involved in our life. He dealt with a lot of things like he was addicted to drugs and just like at a bad place. And then my mom is the glue of our family. She was an angel on earth, and she raised me and my brother in the best way she knew how. She worked at a ambulance factory, which I think is really cool, because I remember going as a kid to her job and seeing them construct, you know, these ambulances from scratch. So that was like, I thought her job was so cool. And what else should I tell you? I don't know.
Was she a single mom? Did she ever get remarried?
She didn't ever get remarried. She had a boyfriend for a while, but he was not good people. And then she never remarried. So my dad remarried. And then my mom was never musical. My dad was very musical. So when he was the first person to kind of like really do a turnaround for Jesus in our family. And so he came back into the picture, and him and my mom were actually like best friends and showed such a great relationship of co-parenting and just loving each other regardless of the past. And so he asked for forgiveness, and he would take me and my brother to church on the weekends. So I started going to church with my dad and hearing his testimony. And then he became a Christian salsero with salsa music. So he sang, he has like 4 albums out that he did. And
wow.
He was like a big inspiration in my faith walk and in my musical journey as well.
Have you ever sang or performed with him?
I did a song at the same time, like around, I would say 16 or so. My dad, on his album, he wrote a song that he had a dream of me singing, where I was just in front of the Lord and thanking him for everything that he had done and restored in my family. And it was in Spanish. And so I sang the song on his album, and then we got to perform it live at, you know, his church in Puerto Rico and a few different places. So that's a really cool experience, because just fast forwarding now, my dad ended up passing away to cancer in 2011. And then my mom also passed away to cancer after that. So they were both very young. And now everything that I do, I'm like, oh, it's like I want to, my heritage and my roots and kind of this family underlying strength is what really inspires me now in my music.
What do you miss most about mom?
Everything. I think that one's challenging. Mom is, for many people, I would say they can relate, is like a place of safety. If you hit rock bottom, you always have mom. If you're going through a tough situation, it's like, I'm just going to go to my mom's house, and I know there I'll be loved and there'll be no judgment and, you know, good counsel and wisdom. My mom was just such a loving person and amazing cook. So she would always just love on you and make you this like amazing meal. And so there was a sense of home and safety and comfort that came from having my mom. So now, you know, adulting is hard and you go through challenges and you're like, I just wish I had my mom here. So that's probably one of the biggest things that I miss, is her safe place.
As you are mothering your own son now, what are you doing that you in your mind are like, oh, that's so my mom? Like you literally learned it from her and it is now passing on to your child.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm my mom in many ways. Those moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, I sound like my mother. I feel like my mom in this moment. The list is pretty long. I'm trying to think of like off the bat, as an adult, I would get on my mom because as a kid, we didn't eat like vegetables or salad, or it was always like rice, beans, and meat, or, you know, some type of starch and protein. And then I got as an adult, I'm like, mom, you know, you set me up for failure because it's so hard for me to eat these things. And then now I have my 8-year-old son who is a spitting reflection of me in those terms of like such a picky eater. He does not eat anything. And I just serve him what he wants. So French fries, chicken nuggets, hot dogs, grilled cheese. And when I'm putting out that plate, I'm like, I am my mother. My son's going to look at me when he's, you know, a teenager and be like, mom, you set me up. You never served me vegetables.
There's a present on your doorstep and you open it up and there's a red phone. And on the other side of that phone is mom. And you get to have a 10 to 15 minute conversation with her. What do you guys talk about?
Oh my gosh, Corey. I think, one, I feel like that would be such a beautiful moment, but it would be traumatic. I wouldn't want it to end, and just having those 15 minutes, I feel like they would rush by way too fast. I don't even know what I would say. There's so much. I would want to catch her up on life and tell her how London's doing and, you know, how my brother had a baby, and she always wanted him to have a baby. I have an older brother, but he had the baby, his wife, you know, had the baby after my mom passed. So I always think of how proud and how, I don't know, how she would feel seeing little Bruce. So I would tell her all about him, and then I would just share how much I miss her and wish she was still here, and that I love her, and that nothing will ever get in the way of that love.
If I was in the room with you, I'd be like, ask her what it's like. Give us a glimpse. Give us some sort of what's coming. Let us
know. Oh, that's so true. But maybe that's like top secret. So
yeah,
she'd probably be like, you just have to wait and see. But there's a space for you here. At least you can tell me that.
There we go. And we'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's pick up where we left off. Tell me where you intersect with Group One Crew, because I came in late to the game on that group, and I loved what I heard, but I've never heard the origin story.
So I give my life to the Lord, 17 years old, and in this church that I was going to, it's Faith Assembly of God, I meet these amazing people that just love music, and Manuel was kind of like the head of the group, because he was the one really working on music. And so he would tell us like, hey, let's all get together, almost like a Bible study, where we would have accountability. We would talk about the Lord and challenge each other. And I'm this baby Christian, like I know nothing about just like reading my word and all this stuff. So they helped me walk through that. And then since we were all musicians in some form, we had like actual musicians like drummers and guitar players. And then we had rappers, singers. What happens when you put all of us in a room? Of course, we want to like get creative and do music together. So Manuel was working on an album and we all participated in some form. And then the name of the Bible study was Group One. And from there, we started traveling. While he would do shows, we would either open or we would go on stage with him and start performing these songs in like our local town in Orlando. And then from there, we decided to put out an album called Group One, and our manager that ended up being our manager, he saw it on MySpace and got us a showcase with Fervent. And so from there, the rest is history. So many promises you gave. And we just turned and walked when we started, it was 13 of us that did the Bible study. But a lot of these people had their own aspirations or wanted to be solo artists or were teachers and had families. Whatever the case was, it ended up being three of us that did the actual showcase for the record label. And it was me, Pablo, Manuel. And that's the start, the origin of Groupon.
Here comes a compliment. You ready?
Yes.
You guys were so ahead of your time, in my humble opinion.
Thank you, Corey.
And you're such a songbird, and I love that you've stuck with it. You know, you guys go your separate ways, and now you are this one-of-a-kind dynamo. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I feel small, you begin up. I'm standing strong, and it's because of you. It's because of you. Through my trouble and my flaws, yeah, you see above it all. I'm standing strong. Let's get caught up, man. What's world like? As we've already talked about, you've got this amazing whiteboard with future songs on it. If you could give me a snapshot of what we're about to hear, what's the vibe?
Okay. Well, with all of my music, especially as a solo artist, I pull from my own personal journey, which ends up, you know, being very vulnerable or having moments on the album that feel just very honest. And so this last, it's been 2 years now, but in this last process of creating an album, I went through a divorce, and that was devastating and really hard. It just felt like a season of loss, and a long season, like just losing my parents and then losing my spouse. And it was really hard. So going into the studio, luckily, I had taken time and did some work on myself. I got therapy. I went through some intensives and just like working on healing myself. So I go into the studio and I'm like, I think this is what I need to write about. Even though I think within the church, it feels like such a taboo at times. But not that every song is about relationships, but it's like I wanted to talk about heartbreak and then talk about my healing process. And so I bled it all out. I got into the studio and there were songs that in the moment felt very, you know, not angry, but just like, how did this happen? You know, like this wasn't the way you abandoned me, like how? And then there's other songs that's like, you can see that forgiveness had taken place and that there's been this restoration within me and healing. And so that's kind of the vibe of the album. It's hitting all of the emotions that I experienced over the last year and a half.
I apologize. I did not know that, so I didn't mean to walk you into that.
I walked myself into it. I could have given you a very short answer.
So I'm just replaying in my mind. I've been around you guys. I remember we had this wonderful conversation at Ground Zero. I poked and prodded at you too, and I was like, man, these guys are in love. And yeah, so I'm sorry. I'm taken aback. So I apologize. So
I know it's such a shock. And that's the hard thing is like a lot of people, part of my brand in a sense, like who I was, my identity was found in who I was as a wife in my relationship with my husband, because he was involved in my career and he's an amazing person. I think we were just both broken and weren't dealing with some of those core issues, which led to some bad decisions. But overall, I'm grateful that one, we still have a good relationship and do the best that we can for our son. And two, I'm hoping that through these songs, you know, it's like, I don't know that I can say just being honest, you know, that everything happens for a reason. Sometimes I think, I could have done without that. But I do think that God uses, like, nothing is wasted, and God uses every part of it. So I feel like I confronted some really hard things in my life that I don't know that I would have confronted if I wouldn't have been faced with this hard season that I was in.
If he takes the time to listen to this new record, what do you think he would think?
I've had this thought. I think there's going to be moments where, you know, they're a little jaw-dropping in terms of maybe what I say. And I'm not a confrontational person. Like, I'm very, like, I just want the peace. But I tried with this to, like, let the music be my healing as well and not just put myself in a box, because that was my hardest thing that I felt like I was breaking out of in this healing journey, is like people pleasing and wanting everyone to be happy, but inside I was not. So he might have, you know, there's some songs on there. I'm looking at the board. Not many. There's not many, but like one or two that he might be like, ooh, she went there. But then the rest of it is my growth and like how God met me at that place. I feel like this is I'm going to throw something at you, I guess. There's this fear in me with like song, like music like this. I think it's not that it's not Christian. It's just not talking about God. In some of the songs, it's more about like my own relational journey. But in my mind, I'm like, I share with what I'm in. That's all I know to do. And how God meets me there. Like, he's a part of it, but these are real life situations. And it's like, what are your thoughts on that? And because there is like, as an artist, there's this like fear in me is like, are people not going to get it? Or
you are going to have to be ready for a floodgate of Me Too. After your shows or on social media or meeting fans, you're going to be approached and they're going to say, I hear you, I've been there, or I'm going through there. Or down the road, I went through this and this is what saved me. You need to be ready for that. I was going to go, are you ready for that? No, you need to be ready for that, because here's why Christian music. Because I've seen the power of it. And I've seen the hope in Christ through music. DC Talk, Jesus Freak, changed my life. Michael W. Smith, the Big Picture album, changed my life. Group One Crew, walking down the street, hearing that sonic excellence, changed my life. Even at my worst, changed my trajectory. So, yeah, go there. Write what you know. That's the classic thing for an artist. Write what you know. And that's what you're going through. And that's a season of life. It was hard, but you celebrate it. And don't you dare block the blessing for somebody else.
That's right. I was listening to a podcast where the lady, she was speaking on, the subject was abuse. But she's like, man, I wish, why don't other women prepare you for this? Like, why wasn't it told, like, hey, you may be preyed upon, or this might be a situation you're in? But instead it's like they knew to just be silent. And I feel like that with my music, in a sense. It's like there's power in knowledge, in wisdom, in saying like, hey, I walk through this, you're not alone, and this is what my experience was like, so that the next person that goes through it can be a little bit more prepared, or maybe their marriage will work because I've expressed, these are the steps I didn't take that I wish I would have, or whatever the case is. But I think that's what I always go to. I'm like, it might not be for everyone, but for the ones that do need it, I want to be there for it.
Are you open to falling in love again?
I am. I am open to it. I hope that's in my future. It's scary just because when you go through trauma, you're like more guarded. But I'm just trusting the Lord and knowing that he already has my future mapped out. And I just have to kind of, like, I love the scripture that says the word is a lamp to my feet. Because I'm like, when you think of that visual, I'm more of a visual person. I'm like, the lamp will only give you light for, you know, the current place that you're in. You can't see 100 yards down the line of what's going to be in front of you. You just got to, like, he's directing each step. So as I walk where I'm currently at, I'm living in the moment. I'm trying to be as present as I possibly can. And knowing that if I do that, my destination will end up being where I need to be.
My thanks to Blanca and her management and her record label for allowing me time with her. You can connect with me on Facebook. What Else with Corey Mann has a Facebook page. Plus, if you ever want to connect, I'm on Instagram, Twitter, all the things. As always, thanks for listening. Maybe consider sharing this episode with a friend who needs to hear it.
What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Leave some feedback, write a review, hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. What Else with Corey Mann on the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.